brother Josh.
Turn my microphone.
Gotta love those sound booth guys.
Amen.
They're top notch.
Sure.
Open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20.
Amen.
Revelation chapter 20. I'm just going to say, welcome real quick. TV Land, I'm so blessed that you all can make it out tonight. Sometimes it's easier to say, I think I'm just going to stay home and watch TV. I'm glad you didn't do that tonight.
Yeah.
I've been working on this message for quite several weeks, and I'm really excited about it, excited what God's going to do with it tonight. So, Revelation chapter 20, and when I get there, I'll have you stand. Right now, I just want to say that I hear a lot of preachers say, let's keep the main thing, which means telling the lost about the Lord, telling the lost what the Lord has done in our lives, and it's easy to get distracted from that. So that's why we're here. I have a burden for the lost, because I know what God's done for me, and I know what God's doing for me, and I know what God wants to do for me. And I want the lost to know that God loves them, and He wants to save them, because I know there's coming a day. That's the message title tonight, There's Coming a Day. There's coming a day that Jesus will come and judge all of mankind. He will judge the saved, and He will judge the lost. We're going to see tonight that these are two very different kinds of judgments. If you're saved, you should know what I'm talking about, and you should have some sort of a burden for the lost as well. But tonight, our message is for both lost and saved. God's going to show us why we should have a burden to tell the lost about Him. And prayerfully, God will touch the lost about why they should listen tonight. So I beg you, please, tonight to listen to see what God has for you. For our guests who do not know maybe what the terms saved and lost means, saved means that you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and the only way to get to God the Father. Lost simply means that you haven't done that yet. So, this is not a religious program that we do. This is God's plan, and His plan, you can see it all throughout the Bible. People need to know that heaven and hell are real places, and that's where we go when we close our eyes in death. We will go to one of those two places. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So I want you to remember that verse, and a little later, appointed unto men once to die. People need to know the truth on how to enter heaven's gate and avoid the devil's help. So if you'll stand with me where we read God's word in Revelation chapter 20, we're going to start in verse 7. Revelation chapter 20, verse 7. The Bible says, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the evil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne in him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works.
and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Father, thank you so much for the work that you've done in my life over the last few weeks as I've studied and prepared for this night. I pray, Father, that you speak to each and every heart that's in here tonight and do a work in them with this message that only you can do. And I ask in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. And the Apostle Paul is the writer of Revelation. The title of this book in the Greek text is Revelation of John. A common mistake that people make is they say revelations, plural. This book is not a series of revelations. It's one continuous theme of a revelation. The revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ that was given to the Apostle John so he could write about it. Let me show that to you. You're already in Revelation, so take your Bible and back up to chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, just back just a few pages. We're going to read verses 1 through 3, and I want to read that together. So when you get there, say amen. Few pages. Okay, so all right, here we go. Let's read this out loud together. Ready? Go. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, verse 2, who bare record of the word of God and in the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Thank you. Brother Marshall is the pastor at Riverside Baptist Church, and he preached out of this passage a few weeks ago, and Brother Josh and I watched it. Brother Josh is the one that told me about it. We both watch a lot of sermons, and we share the ones that really touch us with each other. So I've watched this one from that Brother Marshall preached several times because it's like, whoa. So God really laid it on my heart to preach that message here. So I messaged Brother Marshall and asked him if I could steal it from him. And he said, the more people that hear it, the better. So this is not exactly all of Brother Marshall's message. There's several points in here, and I've quoted him in some places, but a lot of this work is mine. I've spent lots and lots of hours in it, and Brother Chad has helped me out some. And then there's a spot in here. I won't call it out, but I just want to give credit where credit is due. Brother Woodcock preached some of this message at the summer camp this past summer. So just wanted to let you know how this came about. But the very most important thing for you to remember is this message is to you from God. Okay. In the prior verses, 1 through 3, back in our passage. Chapter 20, let me get back there. Revelations chapter 20. Lost my place. There we go. Okay. Chapter 20. We read 7 through 15. But in the prior verses, right before those, 1 through 3, Satan is chained and sealed by God for 1,000 years in the bottomless pit. But in the beginning of ours, passage, verse 7, and when the 1,000 years were expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. So the 1,000 years that we're speaking about is the millennial reign. And that's when Jesus rules here on earth from his throne in Jerusalem, and the saved will rule with him. This is a Bible prophecy. Bible prophecies are events that are recorded in the Bible, but they have not happened yet. But they will happen when God says it's time for it to. Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, that was for man's remission of sins. That was a fulfilled Bible prophecy. Isaiah the prophet wrote about Jesus coming to the earth 700 years before it actually happened. So there's very much more that can be said about Bible prophecies, but that's not our message tonight. In this passage, John writes about the millennial reign and the great white throne of judgment. Some of the message tonight will also touch on the 7 years of tribulation and Jesus judging his saints. The saints are just another name for saved. Jesus calls his saved people saints. Tonight's message is from Bible prophecy, as I said. Brother Chad preached last week that we have faith, that we believe what the Bible says. We believe that what the Bible says happened, did happen, and we live our lives accordingly. That was a very incredibly helpful message about faith and following the Lord by faith. Well, we also need to believe that what the Bible says is going to happen, that it will. We also will believe that by faith. Brother Chad right now is teaching Valley Avenue Baptist Church 101 in Sunday school right now. And lesson number 8, it's titled, Who is Jesus? If you would like to know more about these Bible prophecies and some of these terms that you hear tonight, that would be a very good place to start to learn about them. Plus, Brother Chad really likes teaching about these things, so if you want to pull him off to the side, he would be glad to talk to you about those also. Our passage tonight starts right after the millennial reign. So right after Jesus has ruled the earth with his saved people for 1,000 years, peace and tranquility ruling with the Lord, God lets the devil out of his prison. Why would he do that? Well, in Revelation 20, verse 3, the Bible says, and after that, he must be loosed a little season. Again, we would ask, why? Well, God does not always tell us why he does things, but he's always trying to teach us something when he does things. Let's see if we can learn his lesson here. Verse 8, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. The devil starts right back up where he left off 1,000 years ago. When he comes out of his imprisonment, he starts deceiving the nations again. He starts telling lies. Why? Because the devil hates God. The devil loves it when man follows him instead of following God. Because the devil leads man to destruction, and that hurts God. So the nations once more come together to battle with armies as numerous as the sand of the sea. John calls this worldwide army in revolt a revolt of nations, Gog and Magog. So how do you battle God? Well, people do that by doing what they want instead of what God wants. The Bible says in James 4:4, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. The Bible says if you're lost, you chose your ways instead of God's ways. God says if you are a friend of the world, you are my enemy. What do I mean when I say the world? The world is the ungodly multitude of people on earth, the whole mass of men alienated from God and hostile towards the cause of Jesus Christ. So this makes me a little curious, though. How did the devil gather them so fast and so easily after they were ruled and reigned with Jesus for 1,000 years? How is it possible that such a rebellion can occur against Christ's millennial reign? Well, right before the millennial reign starts the 7 years of tribulation. It's not going to be a good time to be on earth if you're a lost person at that time. Right before that, Jesus will come back during the rapture, and he'll take all his saved children back to heaven with him. So there's going to be lost here, and they're going to be on earth for the 7 years of tribulation. There will be some survivors of it, however, and some will get saved. But when they enter the millennial reign, they're going to enter that without their resurrected bodies. They'll enter the millennial reign with their natural bodies, and they're still wanting to sin tendencies. We know they are believers because they survived the 7 years. However, some of the children born to them, they're not going to call on Jesus' name to be saved. Why? Because sin passes from one generation to the next. The Bible says in Romans 5:12, whereof as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So these non-Christian children will revolt against Christ at the end of the millennium. So then what's the lesson that we have from God letting the devil out from his prison? The lesson is, even in a perfect environment, such as Jesus ruling man for 1,000 years, mankind will revert back to sin the first chance it gets. Mankind will plunge themselves into sin if they're left to their own preferences, even in the most ideal conditions. People, by their own efforts, they cannot change their behavior. That means you don't have to quit doing whatever you think you need to quit doing before you come to church or before you come to God, because you can't do it by yourself. You need the Lord to help you. It's clear that man is inherently sinful. The devil resumed his lies and his activities at the end of the millennium. Rebels in the millennium followed him and marched against the kingdom of Christ. And I'll even make this statement: God knew they would. So if he knew they would, then why did he let the devil loose? To give mankind another chance. To give man another chance to choose God instead of himself. Just as God has been doing ever since the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden was also a perfect environment, but man chose what he wanted over what God wanted. Man's still doing that today. And according to this passage, man's going to be doing it 1,000 years from today, or even longer, depends on when the Lord comes back. This shows the righteousness of God's judgment on mankind. A perfect environment won't help. People in perfect environments are just susceptible to sin as they always were. Neither time nor perfect environment will change people. Only a new life in Christ will do that. People are inherently sinful. They fail even without the devil's help, for the devil has not deceived them for over 1,000 years. Verse 9, and they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. So the devil's out. He's gathered his army. He has God's people surrounded over the entire world, all the way up to Jerusalem. It looks like God's people are losing and about to be wiped out. And God says, I've had enough of this. He immediately destroys the army of the world with one fell swoop of fire. This is the final defeat of the devil, as God will throw him into the lake and fire of brimstone forever and ever and ever. The Bible says devoured. I looked that word up. Devoured means consumed, swallowed with greediness, destroyed, slain. Can I tell you, it looks like God's people are losing the battle today, doesn't it? Looks like that we're surrounded on every side. 60 seconds of news or commercials on television makes it really easy to see. Just yesterday, President Biden signed a law that's an abomination to the Lord and marriage. I'm just going to say this and move on. We're surrounded by the world and the culture that says preaching biblical Christianity is hate speech. We're surrounded by a world and a culture that says the Bible is sickening to them and they're tired of hearing it. Can I just tell you? There's coming a day. God's going to send his next devouring fire, and he's going to take care of all that. Verse 10, the Bible says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. The Bible says, tormented day and night forever and ever. I looked up the word tormented. It means pained to extremity. It does not sound like something I want to experience. Okay then, Brother Tim. God throws the devil and his followers into the lake of fire. They're tormented forever and ever. Pain to extremity, whatever. I've heard this 1,000 times. So what? Well, can I just tell you this? There's coming a day. The next 5 verses that John writes about from his revelation, they're not so what. they should be so terrifying because they are so true. The devil and his followers' punishment, it's eternal. There will never be any relief to this pain to extremity. The lake of fire has no end. The fire never goes out. It should be so terrifying that we cannot even bear thinking about it. Verse 11, the Bible says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." Well, now we are presented with the great white throne judgment. John said right after he saw the devil cast into the lake of fire, he saw Jesus sitting on his great white throne, and he saw heaven and earth flee from Jesus. The great white throne judgment occurs just after the millennial reign is over, and it is the final judgment of all the lost of all the ages by the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone who rejected Jesus' payment for their sin on the cross, they will stand before Him in judgment. Great white is a symbol of God's purity and righteousness. The souls that arrive at the great white throne judgment, they're going to remain lost and separated from God for all eternity in the lake of fire. There's no promotion from hell to heaven, and that should just be terrifying to us. The next part of this verse says, "From whose face the earth and heaven fled away." Even the sin-cursed earth cannot tolerate the sheer glory of God on this day. Psalm 19:1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork." The Bible clearly states that nature itself is meant to show the greatness of God. These words are in the present tense. That means the heavens right now are declaring and the sky is proclaiming the creative work of God. It's a continual display. We see that nature is meant to constantly show us that God exists and tell us how amazing a creator He is. But on this day, instead of declaring God's greatness, they flee. This is to emphasize just how terrible the judgment of sin is going to be on this day. The Bible says in verse 12, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works." It's Judgment Day. It's not an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, Arnold versus the Machines. And it's not a Will Smith movie about Will and his spaceship against the aliens that's coming. That's movie make-believe. This is reality, and it's really going to happen someday. So let me be very clear here. The judgment seat of Christ for saved Christians, it's very different from the great white throne of judgment of the lost. Saved Christians, they're not going to be judged for sin because they have already accepted and believed that Jesus paid that sin debt on the cross for them. Saved Christians will give an account to Jesus on how they used what God has given them, and they will answer to Jesus for how they lived their life for Him after He paid their debt. We will answer to Jesus for how we used our talents for His kingdom building. And there will be both regrets and rewards for the saved children on that day. But after that, we will always be with Jesus. The lost world, or unbelievers, however, they're going to have to give an account for every sin they ever committed at the most horrifying event that will ever take place, the great white throne of judgment. Bible says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God." The dead standing before God refers to all the lost. All those who rejected God's plan of salvation throughout history will stand before God's great white throne on this day. These people are dead, both physically and spiritually. It's going to be their eternal death. It does not matter their social standing. Everyone from the most common person to the most famous person, they're going to be there. It's the everyday Tims, Chads, Joshes. It's the everyday Susans, Debbies, and Ruths. Then the Bin Ladens are going to be there, and the Stalins and the Hitlers. Ahab and Jezebel are going to be there. And on this day, Agrippa is finally going to learn that almost this wasn't good enough. Get the idea? All people from everywhere who did not accept Jesus as their personal Savior, they're going to be standing there waiting to be judged one by one for their sins. Actually, there's probably going to be some apologizing going on, because there's coming a day when people are going to say, "Lord, I'm sorry. If I'd only known this is real. Lord, sorry I mocked that preacher. Lord, sorry I didn't believe that friend you sent to tell me." I'm so sorry I didn't believe it. Lord, can I please have another chance? If you're lost and you know it, let me help you with this. The Lord Jesus, He's giving you that another chance right now. The Bible says, "And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works." So what books? Books that God has recorded things in so He can show them to the lost on that day. God does not need the books for Himself because He knows everything. God records all sin from every person from the time they were old enough to choose to sin. But the moment that that person accepts what Jesus did on the cross for them, God chooses to forget those sins of that person because He sees them through His Son. However, those who do not accept the truth that Jesus is the only way, God keeps recording. And then He uses it for playback on their judgment day. God is also recording everyone's deeds, whether they are good or evil. Again, not for Himself, because He knows everything. But He's recording them, recording everything that everyone has ever done, ever said, and even thought. He's recording these things so He can show it to them on their judgment day. God will use these books on judgment day to reward or punish each one accordingly. The Bible says in Romans 2, verses 5 and 6, "But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath, and revelation of the righteous judgment of God." In verse 6, "Who will render to every man according to his deeds." Excuse me. The Bible will be one of these books opened and used for judgment. Why? Because it's the book that defines what sins are. It's the book that God uses and tells us what sins are. See, mankind in the world, they think they're the ones who define what sins are. But can I tell you? There's coming a day. Mankind in the world that believe that they're the ones that decide, they're going to learn just how wrong they are. It's not going to be a group judgment. No. It's not going to be anyone hiding in a large crowd. Everyone's going to be judged one at a time. It's going to be a one at a time reckoning. The lost will have their sins shown one by one in front of everyone, and it's going to be a terrible time. Brother Tim, you said everyone. So what do you mean, who's everyone? Well, the entire world. Every person born from the time of Adam and Eve until Jesus comes back again. We already know that all the lost souls are going to be there because they're going to be there being judged by Jesus. But all the saved souls, we're going to be there also. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17, "And so shall we ever be with the Lord." So when the saved are in heaven with Jesus, they will always be wherever He is at. We will be there watching this. All souls saved and all the lost will be there in their internal state. God's going to be there because He's Spirit and He's everywhere, and also the Holy Spirit will be there. On that day, Jesus is going to be the judge, the jury, and the executioner. We will witness one by one all those who rejected the Lord. one by one, their sins are going to be shown and judged by Jesus in front of everyone. Listen to him. Please. No. No, don't show that. No one knows I went there. No, please don't show that. No one knows I looked at that. Please stop. Please stop. No one knows that. Can I tell you? It's coming today. Can you hear him? Then after that, the book of life is opened. The book of life has the names of the saved people in it, the Lord's saints. Some's going to be crying, Lord, my name has to be there. I know it is. It has to be there. The Bible says this in Matthew 7, verse 22. This is Jesus saying, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? Lord, Lord, I was in choir. I was a preacher. I was a deacon. I was in the sound booth. I cleaned the church. I built the church. Lord, Lord, I'm a good person. I took all the classes. I memorized verses. I memorized the Lord's Prayer. I turned over a new leaf. I tried really hard to do it right. That TV preacher told me I was okay. I read the Bible. I was baptized as a baby. Actually, I was baptized several times. My parents, they went to church. They told me that I was okay. I don't know if you picked up on this or not, but each one of those statements had something in common. Those people had the eye disease. I, instead of him. But that's not all. All of a sudden, they're going to look over there and they're going to see. Brother Josh, they're going to see me. They're going to see you. Brother Chad, they might see you. Brother Eric, they might see you. Tim? Tim? You knew about this? You knew this was going to happen? You didn't say anything? You didn't tell me? Are you for real? You're a Christian and you didn't tell me? Okay, Tim. I know I got mad at you when you tried to. I know I ignored you. I know I said it was hate speech. I know I said I was tired of hearing it. But you knew this was going to happen? Come on, are you for real? Can I tell you? It's coming today. It's going to happen. But here's the good news. We don't have to wait for that day. We can tell them. We can tell them tonight. We might even be able to tell them tomorrow. We might even be able to tell them in a few days or in a few months. We don't know. But can I tell you? There's coming a day. Now, if God allows a second or a third look through the book of life, if God really actually allows an angel to do that, and I say if, because as we've already heard tonight, God doesn't make mistakes. But if God lets him look second or a third time, when the angel gets done, he's just going to say, I'm sorry, your name just ain't there. Verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. Giving up the dead and delivering up the dead have to do with restoring physical bodies to their spirits. These physical bodies died long ago, and their spirits were in hell. But no lost soul will escape the judgment. When the lost die before the great white throne judgment happens, their souls go to hell. Preaching that lost people go to hell, it's not a popular thing to say. But Jesus talked in the Bible more about hell than he did about heaven. People glorify hell today. They think it's one big party and the devil's the king of hell and they're just going to party hardy with the devil in hell. That's another lie of the devil. The devil is not the king in hell. He is a prisoner there with no power. Hell is a holding cell that God created for the devil and his followers until the final judgment. There's no partying going on. It's pure torment day and night. It's not purgatory either. There's no getting out. No amount of prayer is going to get you out. Final judgment, God will raise the lost soul out of hell to be judged at the great white throne. Although the seas swallowed up a person hundreds and thousands of years ago, God's going to restore those bodies to the judgment. And then he's going to cast them into the permanent lake of fire. Let me say it this way. God leaves no stones unturned. Well, this is shocking to hear, Brother Tim. Right, it is. Here's the thing. I'm not saying it. It's not my message. I'm the messenger. God's saying it, and this is his message. The next part of this verse says, and they were judged each one according to his works. Who's they? The lost, the unbelievers, the people who incorrectly believed man's teaching and the world's view that they had to work their way to heaven. So God judges them according to their works. God will not judge on circumstantial evidence. He will not judge on false charges. One day, the works that the lost were relying on to get themselves into heaven with, God's going to use those very works to condemn them with. God will use the religious works and the ceremonies of the lost as evidence for their eternal punishment. Why? Because the world's religions and their religious works, they're made up by man. The world's religions and their religious works say, perform this ceremony. They say, take this thing. They say, drink this. They say, swear this. They say, swallow this. They say, stand like this. They say, recite this creed. They say, take this class, and you will be redeemed. You'll go to heaven. Can I just tell you? It's false. It's false teaching. All lies by the devil and his false prophets. None of that is in the Bible. Okay, now, Brother Tim, then I'm just going to have to ask you, what makes you think you know so much? Well, I don't know anything. I'm just a man. I'm an idiot. I'm a sinner. I don't deserve anything that God's done for me, not one single thing. I only deserve God's punishment. But I called on the Lord. I can only tell you that as a man I'm blessed because God has chosen me to be his messenger. I remember the call God put on my life December afternoon almost 3 years ago. I remember it like it was 3 minutes ago. The Bible is full of stories where God used sinners like me to deliver his message. You're witnessing a miracle in front of your very eyes right now as God using me to communicate his message to you. Anyone in here that knew me 5 years ago, this is a miracle, isn't it? Come on, better believe it is. I do know how to read, though. The Bible teaches in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, says, for grace are you saved through faith, Ephesians 2, 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. There it is, faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone, period. Salvation is a gift, and all we got to do is receive it. It's not of works, means you cannot work your way for your salvation. It's very clear. That's what the world's religions are. They are man-made works. Why? Well, because man doesn't like God's ways. Mankind likes his ways. Why? To make the way to God comfortable and easy. To make the way to God on man's terms and not on God's terms. Biblical Christianity, the Bible, teaches that man must admit to God that he is a sinner and truly repent in his heart of sins. True repentance is to ask God to forgive you and to turn from your sins, and wanting to do this and wanting God's help to do it. True repentance is not reciting some saying or having a man forgive you, especially knowing the entire time that you really have no intention of turning away from them anyway. The world does not have a problem with religion. The world has a problem with biblical Christianity. Why? Because Jesus steps right in the middle of the world's religion and convicts them of their religion. The Bible says, follow God. Right, Brother Josh? The Bible says, Jesus is the only truth and the only way. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Bible says in John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. I did not make this up. It's all right here, and you can read it for yourself. The world's religions can't say that. I didn't make it up. It's all in the Bible. But I am responsible for telling it to you. Because there's coming a day. Christian, you're also responsible for telling it too. Why? Because at the judgment seat of Christ, when you meet the Lord, he's going to ask you, how did you live for me? Maybe, just maybe, there might be some that might need to start working on getting an answer for him. Because there's coming a day. Eternal life is a gift from God. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. We certainly can't work for it. Verse 14 says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. After the judgment is over, death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. God throws hell into the permanent lake of fire. This is the second death. Remember back in Hebrews, the verse said once to die. Well, that is the first death, man's earthly one. When that happens, our soul goes either to heaven or to hell. God does not want mankind in the second death. God wants us in heaven. God wants all mankind to be saved. John 3:15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The second death is spiritual death. It is the separation of the non-believer, the lost, from God forever at the great white throne judgment. Anyone found here is permanently separated from the love of God and tormented for all eternity. I read this while I was studying, and it's really good. It says, those who are born once will die twice. Those who are born twice will only die once. People who rejected the death of Christ as the only payment for their sins, they'll die twice. If a person accepts the death of Jesus on the cross for their only payment for their sin, they'll die once. God will accept them eternally. I read this. Jesus took our hell that he might give us his heaven. Verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The word found indicates that God makes a careful search of accounts of the book of life. After this careful search, he casts, which means he throws anyone not into the book, into the lake of fire. God's not going to write anyone's names in the book of life that day. The great white throne, it's not a trial. It's a judgment. There's no determination to be made that day. The facts are already in. God has already accumulated all the evidence. You either believe that Jesus' death on the cross was adequate payment for your sin, or you didn't. Either our name is already in the book of life when we get there, or it's not. No appeal, no pardon. President's not going to call and say, let him go. It's over. The Great White Throne Judgment is a sentence for those who have not believed in Jesus' death as the only way of salvation. This reality should motivate us to share Christ with our friends, family, and our coworkers. The lake of fire should be a crucial motivation for witnessing. So, got to ask you some questions. Where will you be on that day? Will you be standing with Jesus? Will you be standing there with Him knowing that you witnessed to absolutely everyone that He led you to? Or will you be standing there looking over at that person that God sent you to one day and you told Him no? It's not too late today. It might not even be too late tomorrow. But on Judgment Day, on this day, it's definitely going to be too late. Or will you be in the line that's pleading, Lord, my tape has to be there. If I'd only known. It'll be too late that day. It's not too late right now. It's not too late right now. Come on down here. Let us take the Bible and show you how you can get your name in the book of life. Everyone must make his or her decision for Christ. Everyone must choose for themselves. Why? Because God won't force you. God wants a close personal relationship with you. He wants you to choose Him. He will not force you to choose Him. He will not force His will on anyone. So you have to choose before it's too late. God sent me to tell you. There's coming a day. Everyone bow in prayer, please. Lord, thank you so much for this message. I pray that you're using it right now, working in the hearts of the people that you led here tonight, Father. Everyone that's here tonight in this auditorium, they're here for a reason. You sent a friend to them. They something inside them told them, I just need to go to them. So, Father, I ask that you use that in them tonight, right now. If you've laid someone on their heart that they need to talk to, I pray tonight when they get home, I'll send them a message, or it's not too late, knock on their door. Father, if there are lost in here, only you and that person knows who they are. But I pray, Father, that you give them the courage to come up here and get it settled right now. Because, Father, we all know there's coming a day. We love you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.